minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. You know, Jades, I'm a wild stallion. When we get this cloudy, rainy weather, I just want to run all over the place. And now you have me stuck in here for 2 hours. So what am I supposed to do? We got some interesting news today. A lot of stuff to break into. We got NFL overtime rules, knee-jerk reaction, or perfect mix. We're gonna talk about that. First things first, the UNC Bears football side of things. This was pretty interesting story throughout. Jaden Watson Fisher put together the story in the Tribune. A lot of stuff was in there about, you know, players and being unhappy and this and that. And then the big one, of course, that got the UNC athletic department and honestly the whole college up in arms was the accusation that Coach McCaffrey and the football program had been fudging with, you know, financial aid and moving that around. Well, got this about a few hours ago. Independent investigation finds no NCAA violations after a review of University of Northern Colorado's financial aid processes. That's got to do it, right? That's got to be it. They're in the clear. Everything's good. Moving on. This was sent from the University of Northern Colorado. An independent investigation led by a law firm specializing in collegiate athletic compliance has resulted and a determination that the University of Northern Colorado's football team was not in violation of any NCAA bylaws regarding impermissible reductions or cancellations of athletically related financial aid. That was it. The rest of the stuff, you know, coach didn't communicate with us this well. He did this, and the playbook's not that great, whatever. None of that stuff really is that big a deal. Could lead down to firing years and years down the road if you're not winning games, but that stuff was a lot of hearsay, not to say there wasn't some truth with what some of the players even told me personally. But again, this one was the big one. This was the one that would result ultimately in people losing their job. UNC, and I got to say this, UNC got ahead of this yet again. They got ahead of it years ago when the basketball program was having some issues. They got way out in front of that. They self-administered the sanctions and suspended themselves from play, you know, competing in the Big Sky Conference essentially for a year. And the NCAA pretty much came back and said, "Well done, great." Because of that, yeah, short, you know, move on from your coach and away we go. In this situation, UNC contracted with Bond and Schoenick, is that and King this past January to begin an investigation after an article in the Greeley Tribune cited allegations from anonymous football players concerning the university's administration of financial aid. So basically, it's done. They came in, didn't find any issues. Here's what Athletic Director Darren Dunn had to say. "We're committed to running our athletics program with honesty and integrity and in compliance with the NCAA. And listen, everything that I know about Darren and everything that I know about, you know, David and the athletic crew over there is this is true. They are busting their humps. My biggest thing when this first came out was understanding the financial aid process. And, you know, when the article first hit, talking about what does Ed McCaffrey know and doesn't know, what he can do, what he can't do. Well, as you dig in further on this, the financial aid process is deeper than that. I mean, if Ed McCaffrey were to convince somebody to change things around, which did not happen, you have to get through so many different lines of defense and security. Here's something I want to tell you. Ed McCaffrey sat me down a month ago or so. We had a great conversation, a long 3.5 hour conversation. I got his vision for the program. I looked at everything he was wanting to do here. And he told me, financial aid said when I first got here, they basically looked me straight in the eye and said, "We don't work for you. We don't represent you. We represent the student athlete, 100%. We'll talk with you. You know, we'll comply with each other. We'll communicate. But we don't work with or for you." And Ed even was like, "Well, okay, I get it. All right. I mean, most people would be like, "Yeah, I get it. You hate me. Leave me alone." It's a lot of new things to navigate through. I have no idea how they navigate through the... I've learned a lot this last 6 months. Last few months, I should say. Just about the process. You know, the way scholarships are put out. You have partial scholarships. At CSU, it's pretty much, from my understanding, from what I've heard from our friend Kevin Lytle at the Coloradoan, it's pretty much all or nothing for the most part. Here, you have certain scholarships that you can give out, and you can give 100%, or you can choose to give partial scholarships. There's a lot to it. So the Bears are free and clear. They opened up practices last week, spring practice, and they've got some other open stuff coming up. Today, I believe, is their pro day. I'm going to pop out there this afternoon, so I'm looking forward to that. And got to move on. Time to move on. And we'll see what Coach McCaffrey can do from here on this very interesting. I mean, it was an interesting story. It's not that it wasn't. But I did have Jaden Watson Fisher in here, and I do really appreciate her time and her coming in to be in studio. But even in that conversation, I got the feeling, as did a lot of our listeners, that perhaps it wasn't one of those no stone goes unturned. That maybe she perhaps just throwing it out, didn't turn over every stone. Some of the questions I asked her, I don't know that she asked some of those players. This is a strong article. It was a strong article. When you put something like that together, you could really hurt and impact a lot of lives. And I'm sure that, you know, listen, I told this to Tanner Schwint this morning on NoCo Now. I said, now that it's clear, great, but you know, maybe some of these Maybe there were some assistant coaches or people within the administration that were perhaps looking for bigger jobs, or maybe they were moving up the ladder for other jobs. Those kind of go on freeze when something like this happens. They say, oh, wait, don't you got a lot of stuff going on over there? And that still might be the case for a while. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. So now the Bears move on. All is well, at least here. We'll find out what this team's really about next year. I mean, Spree got spring ball, and I'll be curious to check some of that out. Practices are somewhat open to the media on Tuesdays. 2:30, I think, but today's different because it's pro day, so I'm going to pop out and just get the feel. I got pro day for CSU tomorrow, Jade, so I may be calling you to do prep on the road. I'll be coming in hot because I think the second portion of that is at 9:45. Can't miss out on a chance to see Trey McBride in his pro day, right? Can't miss that opportunity, so I'll be there. I believe my friend Scott Patchen's going to be out there, too, so I'm looking forward to that. You say, Chris, what do you got here for me, man? It's a novel today. I like it, though. It's good. Rabbit hole question number one. Only Lions, Panthers, and Jets are eligible. Boring. What are you talking about? Oh, Hard Knocks? Can the Broncos, is that what you're talking about? Can the Broncos opt in as a voluntary option? I don't care. I don't watch Hard Knocks. I know I should. I just don't. I'm sure it's compelling. The first year I ever saw it was compelling as hell. It's just something that I don't think about. If the Broncos were on it, would I watch? Yes. But am I like lobbying for it? Not necessarily. Okay. Rabbit hole question number two, which leads us, Jades, to our big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Dun, 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 dun. That means it's big news, Jades. Jades of Spades. I like, that's my favorite. That's my go-to now. Jades of Spades. It's cool, too. Like, you should get that on the back of your shirt. What do you think? Like, we should get you a shirt, like a leather vest. You could talk to Tanner. He's a vest guy. Get you a vest made up that says Jades of Spades. Leather vest. That'd be sweet. Kevin Seifert of ESPN puts the full story out. The NFL owners have approved a modified proposal for overtime that will guarantee each team a possession, but only for postseason games. The vote took place Tuesday afternoon at the annual league meetings. Of course, the current rule allows a team to win on the opening possession if they get a touchdown. That'll continue for the regular season. They have changed it just for the postseason. Do you like it? A lot of momentum to move this thing forward. Rich McKay, the competition committee chairman said last week that, we could tell. I mean, it was really moving. It was cooking. The Colts and the Eagles proposed making it mandatory for each team to have an overtime possession before moving to sudden death. The Titans fought it. They proposed, not necessarily fought it, but they wanted a tweak that would require mandatory possession for each team unless the team that has the first possession scores a touchdown and converts a successful two-point attempt. So essentially, Tennessee was just adding on to it, saying leave the current rules the way they are, but just make it a little harder. You can't just score a touchdown. You have to get a two-point conversion as well. See that? Then we get a little too gimmicky. We get into that shootout area, and I'm not there. They did not endorse. Now, the competition committee did not endorse either proposal. But McKay said that was because the clubs covered the nature of the discussion well. Ultimately, owners modified the Colts-Eagles proposal and passed it, seeking to avoid outcomes similar to what we all know with that Chiefs and Bills game earlier in the year. With the Chiefs winning the coin toss, chose to receive. They scored a touchdown on their first drive, leaving Josh Allen and the offense on the sideline and unable to affect the outcome. McKay said that this would not got passed if it wouldn't have moved to just postseason, because they wanted it the whole way. They wanted it regular season too. So what do you think, guys? You in on this? You like it? Is this a knee-jerk reaction to modifying the game yet again for quarterbacks? The NFL continues to know what sells better than any sport there is. They get their brand. Their brand is the quarterback. Make it easier for them to throw downfield. Make it easier for receivers to get separation. Make it harder for defenses to cover receivers so that the quarterbacks can throw for more yards. And ultimately, when overtime hits, make sure, especially in the playoffs, because that's when the superstar quarterbacks arrive, make sure both of those quarterbacks get to go at it. So it's a true duel. Listen, in the heat of the moment, Bills, Chiefs, I picked the Chiefs to win, so I was cool with the Chiefs getting the dub. Are we happy about this, or is this a knee-jerk reaction? Go ahead and text us. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, rabbit hole question. Eastside Chris, I'll hit it. I like that, man. Do we need to make that a thing? Should we make that? Can we get that sponsored, Jades? The rabbit hole question of the day. That means I need more random hooligans to throw out random questions. The cool thing about this is I'll be talking about, beavers and ducks or something, and Eastside Chris will pop in with a random question that I haven't even covered yet. That's when it works, because it derails me. So, rabbit hole question of the day. I like it. Let's get it sponsored. I need more hooligans to step up. I'll read this question then. Regular schedule as is. Playoffs, coin toss as beginning of the game. Team A starts at their 20-yard line. Oh, you're proposing this. Team B defense scores. Game over. If Team A scores, Team B starts at their 20-yard line. They must score more than Team A to win. If Team B ties Team A starts at their 20-yard line, next score wins. Isn't that kind of like the college side? Kind of, right? That's still good. Two whole rabbit hole questions of the day. I like it. Dixon, with the way the rules are slanted to the offense and how easily it is to extend drives with automatic first downs, I'm cool with this change. Yeah, and again, I like the fact that it was playoffs. Regular season, okay. Playoffs, probably do need to see. I'm fine with it. Good. Are we good? Are we good with this? How you feel about it, Ace of Jades? You don't really care? Whatever. As long as the Rockies are in season, you don't care. That's all you cared about anyway. I'm good. Would I have been crying today if they didn't change anything? No. But I think it works. Listen, most of the time, I will say most of the time, not all the time, when it comes to their reviewing of rules and such, I don't like the replay. You know that about me. But most of the time, the NFL proposes something, and I'm not crazy about it. And then I see it, and I'm kind of like, all right, that works. Moving the extra point back a little bit. Yeah. Thought that was gimmicky, but it worked out. Most of the time, maybe I'm just part of the sheep. I just, you tell me what to do and I get used to it. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I like it. There it is. All right, let's pop into our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. I was going to hit overtime. I was going to hit UNC football stuff, but I'm going to stay with the Broncos today. Who would you rather have if you had to pick between the two? Back with Denver next year. Kareem Jackson as a safety or Melvin Gordon as a backup running back? You have to think about that because I initially say Melvin Gordon, but remember, you'd be paying about the same and only one of them is going to start. Melvin would be a backup. Get a lot of carries, sure, but still a backup. Kareem Jackson, I believe, would still be the starter, therefore on the field all the time. Kareem Jackson or Melvin Gordon? That's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Whoa! Have any guesses as to where this is leaning, Jades? 88% saying Kareem Jackson. Kareem Jackson. Melvin Gordon's got the fumbles. They don't like the fumbles. Kareem forces them, Melvin fumbles. That's interesting. I thought it'd be a little tighter than that. Kareem Jackson, 88%. That's probably going to blow this vote out of the water. 22 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're going to take a short break. Let's talk about the NFL overtime rules. But the NFL in general, they just understand what sells for them. They get their market. We'll talk about that next. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. I got Mike Brohard, the birthday boy, coming up. Talk a little CSU. I was headed out to CSU practice today. Everything's good. Slight family emergency, but everything's good now, so wasn't able to get out there today. I miss seeing Sonny Lubick out there, of course, shaking hands and kissing babies and all that. But I do plan to be at Pro Day tomorrow for CSU. That's going to be a blast. I got in. I got accepted. Only a certain amount of media members got in, Jades. Your boy's growing up. We'll be right back.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 28 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, you want to know where the only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley, Evans is? That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Listen, it's uncomfortable. I know some of you in your car right now thinking, ah, that's an uncomfortable read right there, bro. That's tough. You're harsher than my mellow. I want to talk about NFL overtime. It is necessary. Service is as unique as life. Do your thing. Live your life. Enjoy your sports, your work, your family, but plan ahead. Give Scott, Robin, or a member of their great staff a call today and talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. They get it. They truly do get it. I mean, we've talked to these great folks, and trust me, a lot of us, you know, odds are you've been through it in some fashion. And if you know a little bit about me, I lost my brother 4 years ago. And talk about the worst time of my life. We're planning what to wear, what he's supposed to have on in the casket. I mean, my gosh, it's the hardest things you could ever imagine. Imagine if that was all taken care of for you and you wouldn't have to deal with that when you're grieving and those questions are so terrible at the worst time of your life. Take it from me, folks. You're listening right now. You don't want your family to deal with that. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley Evans area. 970-330-6824. Texter here. Brady, I don't have HBO, but look at the publicity Hard Knocks would garner for the Broncos. Let's get in the head of Chief Dixon. The Broncos don't need any more publicity, man. They got Russell freaking Wilson. They go from Peyton freaking Manning to what the hell was that for 6 years to Russell freaking Wilson. You see Hard Knocks much? You're a younger guy. Does that stuff appeal to you a little more than it does me? Are you, you know, the Lions I see are going to be there? Because they got a coach that's like, we're going to rip them at the knees and bite on their ankles. Like, I watched it when the Falcons were in it, I think, years ago. You were probably three. when I watch this. These are all compliments when I tell you you're young, by the way. You trust me, when you're my age, you're going to be like, dude, tell me I'm young again. I don't know. It's not that it's bad. Like, if I'm sitting down and I have HBO, sometimes I have HBO, sometimes I don't. I order it for certain series, and then I just cancel it. So if it's on and I have it, oh, this is compelling stuff. But it's not like I'm going to subscribe to HBO because of Hard Knocks. Now, if it was on ESPN every night, great. Or every other, you know, every week, perfect. When I was growing up in high school, Inside the NFL on HBO was the best show. You know, Collinsworth was on that program. I watched that religiously. But, I mean, that's kind of the nature of subscription TV anymore, right? I just don't, if I don't have it, I kind of put it out of my brain. I want to see Yellowstone, like, really badly, man. I want to watch the crap out of that. But I don't have, what is it, Peacock? I don't have that. So I just kind of, like, let it go. And then I watch some other garbage TV show that I do have a subscription for. You don't need that much publicity, man. You got Russell Wilson. NFL overtime rules. Are we good with that? The question I have, is the NFL get too overreactionary when bad playoff stuff happens? You know, what was it, the Saints game, the missed PI? Then they were like, okay, we're going to go back and review pass interference. And then that turned out to be a blank show because we went and reviewed everything that could be construed as pass interference. Or if it was called pass interference, we went back and had to review that. And I for one, don't like any reviews. Basketball, I'm watching the Nuggets game last night. And I tweeted out, I'm like, between this terrible crew of officiating, which normally that crew's not bad, and Will Barton trying to throw the game, I was ready to get about 13 beers in. I was ready to get deep. Because it's frustrating watching the game stop all the time. I like flow within a game. That's why I'm kind of for speeding up baseball. But reviewing things just takes up so much time. And I do think, you know, basketball specifically needs to be changed up. They have 465 timeouts between the media timeouts and then the actual timeouts. Got to do something there. But with the NFL, is this overtime thing going to be changed or modified, you know, later, next year? Was this a reactionary thing to what we saw with the Bills and the Chiefs? Very similar to ultimately what happened with pass interference. Because that one, I will say, as much as I said, like normally the NFL makes a rule and I kind of go along with, or I kind of fight it and then it turns out to be okay. The reviewing of pretty much every call, or not really. I mean, what was it like? Just pass interference and a few other things. You couldn't review like offsides. You couldn't review holding, but you could review pass interference. Sadly, my take has either been this, which I lean toward: either don't review anything, or unfortunately, review it all in the NFL. Just give them like one challenge, and then there's no official review or something. But I'm curious. You know, is this going to come back and bite them somehow? Because there is a very large contingency of fans that still say, dude, Bills, if you're that pissed that you lost and didn't get Josh Allen the ball, maybe you could have made a stop. One stop wins the game for both of those teams. I kind of go there, but then I kind of get frustrated too. Like, you're at the mercy of a coin toss. Which, if it wasn't for the coin toss just being part of the game that we all knew growing up, that would be very much gimmicky. I mean, it is gimmicky. Look at the NBA. Home team. What is it? How does it work? You get the jump ball, and then whoever wins the jump ball doesn't get opening possession again until the third quarter, right? Now, obviously, in the NFL, you can't do a jump ball, but possessions mean much more in the NFL, but think about it. I'm not saying that we need an alternative way to figure out who gets the ball, but a coin toss is kind of weird. It's kind of gimmicky. I just wonder, though, there's that group that's definitely looking at it saying, dude, defensively, make the stop. But the NFL is going opposite because they know it sells. They know that if Josh Allen would have got a chance, we might be seeing another overtime. we're going to see more fireworks. And even though the NFL has plenty of fireworks, throwing one more black cat at the end of that overtime, not going to hurt. That's why the NFL is good at what, so good at what they do. They have these, well, I know all sports program, all sports do this, especially the big business ones. They do those focus groups, man. What sells? Why are people gambling? Why is fantasy football so huge? Why is watching a random game that you don't care about so huge? It all comes back to the quarterback. Fantasy football's a blast. It all comes back to the quarterback. You draft a wide receiver. What's the first thing you're thinking? Okay, are they good? Okay, great. Second, who's throwing it to him? It all comes back to the quarterback. Was it 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or something like that? The quarterback is Kevin Bacon. Dixon, this is a good one. Speaking of jump balls, this is what you would call a rabbit hole question. Are they one of the biggest jokes in sports? Plumlee stroked that one on the way up last night. It wasn't even funny, and they never call that. NBA needs the possession arrow. Jump balls are a joke. Absolute Dixon, I don't like to agree with you, and I really feel icky inside when I do, but I do right now. I feel icky, but I agree with you. Do the possession arrow, please. College basketball has it right. Do the possession arrow. There's not that many tie-ups, are there? Just do the possession arrow. Because the referee is like, you're counting on a ref. A lot of times, a much older gentleman or woman throwing the ball in 100% a straight line. Like, think about that. I bet you if we looked at every jump ball ref throws up, not one of those balls is in a 100% straight line where it gives truly, you know, not weighing the heights or whatever, but a 50-50 shot of actually getting that basketball. And then, yeah, you're right. Plumlee's hands like on the ball as he's going up, and it's about that position and putting his arm up in the air. Yeah, jump balls are a joke. Here's something else that I read today. So, who was this guy? I can't remember who it was. He's a lot of followers, so he's legit. He's basically talking about how Nikola Jokic's, a lot of his assists are garbage assists. That a lot of his assists are off the dribble. Like he goes up, hands the ball off, sets a screen, opens, guy pops it. I'm sorry, but the way I watch Nikola Jokic play, the guy gets it done. It doesn't matter if it's a handoff. He created the open space. Yeah, and he's the sexiest passer in the history of basketball. No question about it. I mean, Pistol Pete and, you know, Steve Nash might have a few things to say about that. But Joker's just 7-footer throwing no looks like that. It's great. Get out of here. But some of his assists are handoffs that he creates space for. He knows how to set screens and sets those casual little walk-bys that don't really look, that aren't really screens, but are screens. He's a smart player. Smart players figure out how to get things done. And again, it's not like James Harden figured out the game and gets foul called all the time. Joker just knows basketball. He knows that it's all about space. And he creates it better than anybody in the league in terms of finding the open man or getting the open man or getting the man open. And because of that, he has now jumped back over the top for the MVP in the MVP race. And we're going to talk about that next. The Nuggets win last night. They beat the Hornets the Hornets were on a back-to-back. But my goodness, they got a player that's regressing in a terrible way. And we got to talk about it. We have to hit it. Is something need to be done this year as far as the depth chart? What should the Nuggets do about Will Barton? 39 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You mean they don't have a violin in this? Maybe. Listen to it closer, Jades. Nuggets win 113-109 last night. The Hornets are battling for a playoff spot, and they were on a back-to-back after losing to Brooklyn the night before. I thought the Nuggets were going to run away with this thing. but it was some weird officiating, and Will Barton was certainly, I mean, this was a weird game. He ended up with 18 points, and his plus-minus was plus 15. I don't even know how that's real. He had three turnovers, but again, his shot selection. He was 4 of 10 from the three-point line. Didn't get to the free throw line once. 7 of 17 with his field goals. And here's a key moment. Nuggets are up 5 with like a minute left. They get the rebound. Barton has the ball at half court and just decides to throw it all the way onto the other side of, you know, the line, you know, just kind of a lateral throw, but all the way on the other side of the floor to Bones, I believe, or maybe it was Morris. There's a defender playing out there. And he intercepts the ball, and it's a three-point game with like 50 seconds left. So those of you that bet the spread were sweating it out last night. It was minus 3. I suggested this. I was like, it's time. Can you put him on the bench? Like, is it? Can you actually put him on the bench? And what would that look like? Do you trust that Barton would be okay on the bench though? Trying to orchestrate things with Boogie Cousins and whatever that is. If Bones Highland is the point guard and Barton's the 2 off the bench, who would start is the question. Now, could you take Barton out and start a Bryn Forbes, who only gets like 5 minutes now? His minutes are deteriorating. Austin Rivers is back in the good graces. He played 26 minutes last night. Here's the thing with Will Barton. He will giveth and he will taketh away. And lately it's been more taketh thing away than anything. It's a word. You got to be very careful here. Now, I even my tweet, I was like, maybe this is a little, I don't know, because what are you going to do? You take Barton out, Brady start Bones Highland at point guard. Well, move Monte Morris, move more. It's a small backcourt. You know, you got Morris and Bones Highland. I know that's like a great thought and everything. I like the idea of starting Bones. How about next year? Let's go with that next year. Start Bones at point guard, Jamal at 2, MPJ at 3, Gordon at 4, and Joker at 5. But I'm even going against myself here on the Will Barton thing. Brady, I'm more worried about Gordon than anybody. He thinks he's a good scorer, but he really isn't. He's almost just a little better than Plumlee. Either dunk or don't shoot. Please, even though I know the Nuggets need him to score. Gordon is the scary one. He's best when he drives. He's got to drive. He's better than Plumlee. Yeah, I mean, he had 17 points in the first quarter. 4 points the rest of the game. 1 of 3 from the three-point line. Yeah. You need him driving to the lane. You need him getting down there. You got to have him do that. I'm worried about him, but, man, Will Barton just kind of looks lost at times. His confidence is gone at times. And then at other times, they dribble down the floor, and two guys are on him, and he's going to shoot it with two guys in his face. 5 seconds into the shot clock. It's like wasted possession there. Or he misses a wide-open layup. Or he turns it over up 5 with 1 minute left. Or he doesn't know how to get the ball in bounds. Didn't defend. He lost his guy in transition. But the other, again, what do you do? Who starts for him? I'm going through the list here. You got what? You're going to put Rivers in there or Reed? So I'm going back to whenever you get a healthy lineup again, when Porter's back, when Murray's back, yes, obviously. But you can't right now. So my tweet was wrong. He can't go to the bench. It doesn't make any sense because you're not going to put him and trust him to lead the bench production. The bench was, I mean, other than Bones Highland, the bench was rough. Bones had 9. 49 minutes after the hour. Unfortunately, guys, I do think the Nuggets can win a first round, but without those other two pieces or without your secondary piece being better than Barton or Gordon at this point, your ceiling this year might be just to get to the Western Conference semis. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but with the current state right now, I just don't see it. 12:50 the time. Short break coming up. When we come back, all right, for a second hour, I want to bust into the Broncos. All the Jerry Jeudy, Russell Wilson stuff, all the Jeudy tweets, has it all just went away? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. This one has no violin in it, right, Jades? Okay, we'll be right back.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. We haven't had a sports bar. I've been up in Greeley. You know, I've lived around Greeley or in Northern Colorado since 2005. And there wasn't anything like this, like the GOAT, when I was going to college. When I moved to Fort Collins, I started hanging around up there a lot more and going to places. And, man, I'm telling you, my guy Alex, Matt, they have done a wonderful job of setting up the greatest, the best staff. They don't roll their eyes at you when you ask them to turn on a certain game, because odds are, first off, they already have that game. They know the games that are important to their fan base, to their patrons. And that's a plus. They got a 360-degree bar top, patio seating. It's getting warmer. I know today's a different story, but it is getting warmer. It's getting beautiful out there. 36 HD TVs. You can watch your favorite teams play. They're a high-energy local bar and restaurant. Proud to be serving the Greeley community. Check out the Wisconsin cheese curds. Absolutely to die for. Delicious. Got to try them. Tell them I sent you here from the whole show. You won't regret it. All right, I got a pair of tickets to give away right now. We're doing it now. You stay on the line, though, Jades. We're going to let Jades get to break and everything. So I'm going to do it. Caller number eight. Caller number eight. If you don't get in right away, stay on the line. You could be the person. Caller number eight, I need your email address. Nuggets, Timberwolves, coming up on Friday night. One of the last games, home games of the regular season. Caller eight, 970-353-1310. Or toll free, 877-353-1310. Caller eight, you got a pair of tickets to go see the Nuggets and Timberwolves in a huge game. It's my game of the week on Friday. You're not going to want to miss it. 970-353-1310. When we come back, Russell Wilson putting in the hours. Jerry Jeudy back in the good graces here. This offense is going to be lit up, man. Second hour coming up next.